Accession number 28736, reel 3.
I'm sorry, but that's how it's going to be. And it's no good you going to anybody else, because they won't be able to change it for you. And that was my only little excursion. So, from Gibraltar, I was sent and got onto this ship and took the position of OC troops, and we've done that. Okay. And I was in Italy. I was in Gibraltar, a place called Jumper's Bastion, and a very old historic place. And I had responsibility for all the searchlights, and there were hundreds of them there, anti-aircraft and coastal searchlights. We used to have them along at the end of all the moles and so on, so that we could sweep the areas around for these small German E-boats used to come down and try and torpedo our ships, the Navy. And in fact, they did send a torpedo once. We had an aircraft carrier moored on the inside of the detached mole, and so that the submarine off Gibraltar could see the superstructure of the aircraft carrier, and it fired a couple of torpedoes right in amidships, where amidships would have been. But this huge granite mole or jetty pier, solid, was between it, and they blew up and shook the whole place up, so that men's shirts disappeared into the crack, and the big heavy stones came down again on top of these blocks and trapped them in there. So that was a shake up, but that was about all that troubled us at all. And then I went over to Italy on this ship. I lived in this half a Spitfire case on one of the walls of Jumper's Bastion, with the quartermaster sergeant, Wilfred Wildman, who lived there, and we were very comfortable. But one day I was down in my office down below, and my district officer was in there, and this naval petty officer came in with a big beard, and I could hear him speaking as he came in and asking for me. And sure enough, it was Buster, and he was on his way home on another aircraft carrier from the Far East, where he'd had a fairly rough time, I gather. But anyway, it was lovely to see him, and he stayed there for about 3 days with me, and we went round. I didn't do any work, and took him round all the different messes and so forth, and we had as much to drink as we could, and so on. And then he went off. I got him some stalk of bananas and things to take home on his ship, and then he had some leave and would have seen Ruth and the children. So, and now this was getting on after the war, in fact, and I was sent up to take charge of some new guns that were really useless, but they were very fine guns and anti-aircraft, and they fired 5.25 inch shells. And when I went up there, I only had two positions with four guns each, but still costing £1 million plus each. And they one of them was in the middle of a golf course. One group of this very high fence round, and I had two civilians who were to maintain this equipment. And one of them was missing several times. I used to have a motorbike and go and visit them in one or two other places that I was responsible for. And this chap only had two, and he had two guns, and the other chap had two guns. And one was very good and kept them spotless and no rust, and everything to do with them was good. Whereas he was not very good, and I told him off several times, and said he wasn't pulling his weight at all, and so on and so forth. And he'd have to go, and I'd give him the sack. So he was missing one morning when I went round, and he was out actually playing golf on the golf course. And so when he came back, while I was there and doing some checking and so on, I told him, I said, "Have you got anything on here?" And he said, "Yes, I've got my case over there, my coat." And I said, "Well, you pick those two up and clear off, and you're fired, finished." And so I rang up the Western Command and said, I've sacked this chap." "Oh," the officer there said, who was a major, "that's a bit harsh, isn't it?" I said, "Not at all. I've warned him a number of times, and very much he'd have to go if he wasn't there. So he's out playing golf, not doing his job, and it's impossible to keep him." So I fired him. And so he said, "All right, well, we'll get..." I said, "What I want is a replacement," and so forth. "And would you be able to organise it?" And he said, "Well, yes." And that was that. And the following day, he called me and said, "You'll have to take this man back again." And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't do that. It just sort of goes against the grain. And I will have to apply for a posting, please, and somewhere else for me. I can't have him back after I fired him." And he said, I sympathise and I see how you mean, but we're having rather a job with this because he belongs to the union." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry, he really deserves firing. I wouldn't do it if I could possibly have avoided it. But having done it, I can't change that." So the next day he rang and he said, "Would you like to go to Trinidad?" And I said, yes, I'd be very happy to go to Trinidad. And so I was posted to Trinidad. And I don't know really what they did with it. I know a chap named Bill Cowie, who I used to know, was a master gunner on the course with me. And he took it over. So that was that. But I never... Okay. We're back again. We're just going to finish up. And I would like to say that I just feel that I've been so very lucky throughout my life, and so have my brothers too. And so goodbye and good luck to you all.